This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
All right, welcome back. Now, Diarmaid, just in relation to what Carl is saying about, we're talking about spending public money, of course. We already spend a substantial amount of public money between translations for courts, for European documents, for road signs, for media, Radio Na Gael, TG Cathair, which service a small amount of people. Realistically, they wouldn't be existing if it was a private enterprise. They're subsidised by taxpayers. We spend quite a substantial amount of money. And what they're suggesting now, and what Ryan O'Mara is suggesting, the TD, is we spend more basically having this, Gaeltacht for all leaving cert students being mandatory. In other words, the state will have to pay for that because obviously everybody couldn't afford that. So, you know, putting more money into it, the point Carl is making is not going to make a huge amount of difference. We've been putting money into it for years and it hasn't really made a difference. So what's going to change?
I think that proposal from the government, or well, if it's from government,
it's from Fianna Fáil,
is worthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Except I have to listen to it in a very cynical way because it never amounts to anything. Like, there are areas where there should be Gaeltacht courses running today, and they're not happening. And there are Minority, as they call them, who put up students who don't get paid properly. They're asked to kind of work almost slave labour, providing what is an invaluable service to the state. But there should be more spending on it, more investment on it. But the state should try to create a life so the students who come out of school and out of colleges can actually engage with the state itself in the Irish language. That is the biggest failing. Me being someone who speaks Irish, I cannot do my business on a day-to-day basis. I cannot go into courts without having to put myself in the role of being a crank before I begin to explain what's going on. And you mentioned translating services. Irish is probably the lowest in the scale of money spent on translation services in Irish courts. Way more money is spent on the likes of Polish or Lithuanian.
Well, that's because
the
majority of
Irish languages.
Well, that's because the majority of Irish speaking people speak English, just choose not to speak.
But
Carl, if you're stopped in a car by the Garda tomorrow, Carl, or you go to court, or you're on RTE television or news, you know, surely it's not a big deal, or it shouldn't be a big deal, to request to speak your native language. So if a guard stops you at the side of the road, there was a time when a guard had to know Irish, or basic working language of Irish. Now they don't. They got rid of that rule, and it's just any language, yeah, any second language. So, Carl, is that, you know, we're basically eroding it ourselves by, you know, loosening the rules. There was a time to be a journalist, for example, or to be on television or RTE, you must have spoken Irish as a second language. But that's all gone now.
Look, the Irish language already died of its own volition, and it's kind of going through a slow death again. And all I'm saying is that rather than try and stop the tide, I think we should divert some of that energy.
But just let it die, though. Just let it die.
Towards, yeah, preserving.
I'll
finish the sentence.
Carl must have a very slanted view. When you say the Irish language has died of its own volition.
Okay, let him finish.
Nothing further from the truth than that.
Okay, let him finish.
Nothing further from the truth.
Let him finish what he wants to say. Go ahead. Sorry, Carl.
What I'm trying to say is Irish culture and Irish identity has about 7 broad pillars that it stands upon. Many of them have been long underfunded, long ignored, and they are just as valid and in many ways more ongoing valid than the language is. And people could get a lot more engaged. And I think even if you truly feel that way about the language, I think you would find that if there was a rebirth of Irish language, Irish dancing, Irish art, Irish literature, that you would actually see the language on its own become more relevant rather than trying to treat it in an isolated sense. But we keep going.
I'm sorry, Carl. We're just finishing Fla Ceoil na hÉireann this year. It has never been had a greater participation or following. Never. It's thriving. The Irish language is thriving on culture. Equally, the Oireachtas will be on later on. You'll see it will be the most successful one ever. People are crying out for Irish culture and language, and Irish, the language, is the central part of the culture. It's what brings it all together. You can't even go out into Irish countryside and understand the places where you are without looking at the Irish language. You can't. This is in our psyche. It's part of us. So it would just be a Philistine who would dispense with it or treat it so lowly as you describe. You should maybe go and have some education on the important questions of language and national psyche and understanding. The Irish language is ours, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who speaks Irish who would tell you to take a hike if you think that we should just surrender our language because some bureaucrat somewhere decides, oh, it's cheaper and we should get modern. Who the hell says it's modern? The modern thing is for people to live lives culturally to the most, and in Ireland's situation, that embraces Irish culture. We should do that. If we don't do it, we might as well call ourselves little Englishmen. And as they presented to Douglas Hyde over 100 years ago, they said, why don't we all become Englishmen and act like them? And it would not and will never be accepted in Ireland, ever. The Irish people will speak their language.
Yeah, sorry, Carl. Just finally, Carl, there. Go on.
We effectively did become Irish Englishmen. You know, that's the first language of this country.
Speak for yourself.
He's not speaking for himself, Dermot. I speak English. I speak very little Irish. I have a little bit of an understanding of Irish, but I don't speak much Irish. So no, he's not speaking
most
for himself.
People,
we speak English.
Most people I know speak English, but they don't call themselves effectively becoming Englishmen.
But when you speak that
Irish
language,
people would take exception to that.
Culture,
even those who happen to word of Irish.
Look, my statement that language and culture are intrinsically interwrapped, that was your statement, not mine. You made that statement.
It is.
And
they are completely intertwined.
Then I said, in a sense, we became all Englishmen. Now, the last thing is, by the way...
Well,
Hang on, David. Go ahead, Carol.
We did adopt their traditions, their laws, their societal setup. And all I'm saying is I'm not convinced that there's a single person in Ireland who can't speak English because they only speak Irish. Yeah, or it's in the tens.
Well, according to the census, go back a while ago, I remember this figure was 12,000. So the 12,000 people in Ireland claim that they live their lives in Irish and don't speak English. Now, I agree with you, Carl. I don't believe for a minute those 12,000 people don't speak English. They do speak English. But they're choosing
to...
they choose to live their life in Irish. They live in a Gaeltacht area, probably don't need to speak English. Yeah.
Look, live your life in whatever language you want. What I'm saying is I don't believe that there are any people alive in this country today who are ignorant of all English. In other words, they only speak Irish and they are totally clueless.
I don't think there is anybody. You're probably right.
But I can tell you, if you turn that sense
around... But that doesn't win your argument, Carl.
But that if you turn that around, it's in the millions. There's millions of people who speak no Irish.
There is. Or very little Irish. I mean, we have a very brief understanding. Some of us have a brief understanding. Carl, listen, thank you very much indeed. Dermot, stay with me for a second if you can. Carl, I appreciate you coming on and talking to us on the show today. Let me just go to Joe. Joe, hi, how are you?
Not too bad, Niall.
Joe, in relation to the Irish language, you believe it should be it still should be mandatory in schools? Because that was a question I asked earlier on. Are we at a point where it still should be mandatory? Because it does seem to make little sense, and I'll come back to Dermot on that in a second, that, you know, for example, if you're going to do a college course, you know, in, you know, science, engineering or whatever it is, that you have to have Irish. You will never need Irish if you're computer programming or whatever it happens to be. So why the requirement to have Irish? So but you believe that's a good requirement?
Well, I think it's important that we retain the Irish language, Niall, because given the way this country is going at the moment, we're losing our identity, we're losing our culture. We're losing our values because of globalization. And I think it's important that we do retain our language, because if we don't stand up for our values quickly, we're going to be outnumbered. We're going to be outwritten within another 2 or 3 years because...
Well, I wouldn't say that quick, but go on, yeah.
Yeah, the government are doing a good job to our RIP, our traditions. We have a traitorous leadership. They're only answerable to the EU, the World Economic Forum, and all the other globalist elites. They're not looking after the Irish people. Like, if you see it right, an overseas person gets better parental treatment in this country than what an Irish person gets. And it's proven that over the last couple of months. Over the last couple of years, sorry.
Somebody coming into the country from a foreign land gets better treatment than an Irish person. Well, it depends on the circumstance, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know, Niall. You look at it. Look, if you were looking at the day of the last 4 Sundays, you had the All Ireland finals, right? Hurling football, ladies football, Camogie, right? You had a lot of migrants, foreign guys, doing security up there, right?
Yeah.
You also had the EID festival there just over 6 years.
Let me just go back to the people doing security. Why is that an issue? When you say migrants, you mean foreign people? I don't know what you mean.
Well, what I mean is, Niall, is that the All-Ireland final is supposed to be
A lot of
identity.
Yeah, but there is 1 in 5 people in this country now who are not traditionally from Ireland. So you are going to see a situation where people who are doing maybe unskilled jobs in some sense, you know, maybe doing security at football matches or whatever it happens to be, you are going to see quite a number of people, I suppose, you know, who would be in that position who wouldn't be Indigenous of being Irish. I don't see why that's the relevance of that. Let me just go back to the Irish language itself and what you call the mandatory aspect of it. You know, what happens if somebody just doesn't want to learn Irish? We're kind of saying to them, well, you've no choice. You have to.
Well, look, Niall, I think it's important that people learn the Irish language as much as possible, right? It might be well respected in some quarters, but at the end of the day, it still gives you a bit of credence to what our country is about, you know?
And is that credibility or credence, as you call it, is that worth spending billions on?
Well, look, okay, look, I understand. I don't want to see, nobody wants to see money being wasted on something that's not going to get, that's not going to be looked after properly. But I do think that there is credibility there.
Okay, well, hang on, let me just ask Dermot a question. Dermot, if I was in charge tomorrow and I was in Fianna Fáil and I was in charge of the public purse and I said, okay, there's another billion quid, you know, Minister for Irish Language there, you can spend that on the Irish language. Do you honestly think you're going to get me money's worth out of it? I don't think so.
Probably not, because there's so many vested interests down the line who siphon off the funds. As I said, the families who take in young children to teach them Irish and the Gaeltachts, they get paid pennies. So a lot of the money just disappears into schemes, I fear. But that's no reason to start just cutting back on them. If they want to cut back money, they should cut back their spending on weapons sent off to wars and so on.
Oh,
and
I wouldn't disagree with you on that. There's loads of money being spent. I wouldn't disagree with that.
There's money being spent on all kinds of schemes, right? And this business of comparing the expenditure on Irish language to English to try and somehow put it down is nonsensical.
But we don't have to spend money on the English language. Tell me where we spend money on the English language. We don't have to. It naturally happens.
Everything speaking, all those schools speaking, all teaching everything in English.
But that's not costing us any money. I mean, most school teachers, whatever, I don't know how many school teachers there are, 70,000, but I have no clue how many educators there are in this country. They all naturally speak English anyway. We don't. Yeah. It's actually hard to find teachers to work in Gael schools because there aren't as many who speak fluent Irish.
Sadly, an increasing number of Irish language teachers can't speak Irish.
Absolutely.
Would you believe that?
I do believe you. I'm sure it's very difficult for Gael schools to get teachers.
The government is not being honest in its efforts. If they did, they would teach teachers properly how to teach Irish, and they would teach our children to speak Irish and to love it. And they would teach them the reason why it's important for them to know Irish. None of this they do. And then when people leave schools, they should be able to conduct their business at minimum with the state fully in Irish, but they can't.
Okay, but do me a favour, Dermot, stay there because I want to go to Seamus, but then I want to go to Mark, who is an Irish teacher, or not an Irish teacher, but he is a qualified teacher. Stay there for a second. Seamus, hi, how are you, Seamus?
How's it going? Oh, not too bad.
Good. Seamus, okay, we should be spending more money on preserving the Irish language as far as Dermot is concerned. This is not such a bad idea by Ryan O'Mara to maybe have, you know, this kind of idea that all students must go to the Gaeltacht before the Leaving Cert. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I agree. I think it's a part of our cultural identity, who we are as a nation. It goes back, right back to the days of Bowen. It goes back thousands of years, like, so, you know.
But we were banned from speaking it at one stage by the British, Bukwan, yeah?
Yeah, well, I mean, when I'm listening to, like, leftist Fianna Gaelers, like Carl Dieter on the air telling us, I mean, that guy will come on, I'm basically giving an opinion that it will kind of fall in line with doing anything to eradicate the identity of this country. So
I wouldn't agree with you. I know Carl quite well, and Carl spends a lot of time playing and listening to and being in bars playing traditional Irish music. So I wouldn't agree with you.
Well, look, he certainly wouldn't be my benchmark for No, definitely not.
But if we spend more money, we're already spending probably over a billion if you estimate it and work it all out. But if we spend more money, are we going to get a return on it? I think not, because I think we've tried most things at this stage and it doesn't really increase the amount of people who want to speak it.
Okay, well, we've had great people like Hector Nihilcon, who used to, you know, he was notorious.
Hell yeah, Hector here!
Yeah, how's it going, folks? He was a great advocate for the language, not just here in Ireland.
He was a bit annoying, but wasn't he? He was a bit annoying.
Oh, well, I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
Okay.
He's a great character. Anyway, yeah. Lucas, I think when you look at the waste in this country, we have a government that are spending €6 million per day on housing illegal male migrants in this country.
Not all illegal, but somewhat so now
that they're kicking out Ukrainian children out of there who legitimately are here due to a crisis and replacing them with illegal male migrants. €6 million per day of taxpayers' money. Not their money, taxpayers' money out of your pocket.
I know, and again, we've talked about that so many times, Seamus, and I agree with you. We are wasting and squandering recklessly a lot of our taxpayers' money on bad immigration policy. I'm not denying that. Yeah. But okay, let's just park that for the moment and get back to the Irish language.
It gives you perspective.
Yeah, but if we spent that €6 million a day, on the Irish language, do you really think it's going to make a huge difference to the amount of people who speak Irish in this country? I don't think so. I think it's all to do with willingness of wanting to learn.
Well, I don't think it should be forced upon them right to the day of the Leaving Cert. I do think that it should be kept and protected as a part of the curriculum and certainly at primary level up to the years of 12 years of age for a child. And after that, they can make the choice, I guess.
Okay, obligatory. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But in terms of investing money, that's just the education system. But bear in mind, don't forget now, you know what Fine Gael are all about. Going back to the days of Enda Kenny, you know, he was the one that dropped out. He alluded to the fact that we should probably think about taking Irish language completely out of the curriculum and at schools. These are the kind of people that would like to take pages out of a history book because it's progressive. They're all leftist lunatics. It should be money spent on protecting our cultural identity, which is known not just within Ireland or England. And we know we have a history with our neighbours, but we are friends as neighbours. That history goes back right across the world over centuries and centuries, thousands of years. So I think it is it's an important part. Would you go to New Zealand and tell the Maoris that like it's time to just eradicate your culture? We don't really need to know anything about you guys now anymore. It's insane. It's leftist lunacy.
Yeah, but the government in New Zealand don't spend millions trying to promote, you know, everybody else to adopt the culture of the Maoris or their native language. And the same would go for Australia, the indigenous people in Australia. The same would go for America. You know, you don't see Navajo being taught in schools in America unless it happens to be on reservations or part of the country where there were reservations, where you would have had primarily Navajo people. So indigenous languages have been lost in many countries in the world. There are thousands of languages in the world. The best example I can give is Wales. And Dermot, just to come back to you, I mentioned Wales a few minutes ago. Why do you think it works in Wales, but it doesn't work in Ireland?
It's a question of political will. Our state does simply not want to have the Irish language restored. And reply to our speaker there, I don't think these people are leftist, but they have no respect or love for the working class. They're the extreme of right wing, because that's the politics they practice. But they simply don't want.
Who's right wing in the Irish government? There's no right wing people in Irish government.
All the government parties, they're all supporting the American war effort out in the Middle East.
I wouldn't class that as right wing.
They have supported their efforts in Ukraine and so on, and that is what they are.
But I don't class that as being right wing. If anything at all, actually, I would consider over the last decade we've had a left wing our government and a left wing media.
Okay, well, maybe someone needs to define what these terms mean.
I suppose so.
But in my book, they're not defenders of the working class and never were. That's how I classify it. So either way, let's take whatever label they want.
Let me go to my school teacher. Thanks for that, Seamus. Let me go to my school teacher. Mark, hi, how are you?
How are you now? Thanks for having me.
Good. Now, Mark, you're a qualified educator and teacher. Can you explain to me why there seems to be a lack of enthusiasm, generally speaking? I'm not talking about Gaeltacht schools in particular, but generally in relation to the Irish language.
So what I think is when you start putting the word mandatory on something, that is when people are being pushed off. So when I spoke to the producer, I said that I'm an educator. Like, I'm a primary school teacher, and I'm also qualified to teach English. And the thing is, you cannot get a job in Ireland as a teacher unless you are fluent in Irish, which a lot of other EU member states wouldn't have an inkling of Irish being a language, let alone knowing the language to the level to be able to be put in school. So what would happen if you start putting mandatory Leaving Cert courses is it would become mandatory for teachers in those respective, like secondary school and, you know, up to the Leaving Cert to know Irish, which is going to be you know, there's already a shortage of 900 teachers, I think, in Ireland. And they're not going to be able to solve that. They're going to create even a bigger crisis by not having the teachers to teach Irish at that level.
Mm-hmm. So do you speak any Irish at all, Mark?
Very few words.
By the way, I detect from your accent that you're not originally from Ireland.
Exactly, but I still like the culture in Ireland. I like the Irish culture, and this is the reverse of the argument that I'm going to present now. Is I love the Irish culture. They definitely should make kind of strides to preserve it, but throwing money at it and making something mandatory is just going to put people off, especially young people that are the subject of the discussion. They don't like being told what to do, especially, you know, so if they don't have a natural inclination to do something, they're not going to
But you could make that argument about everything, Mark. We have a job. You have a job primarily because you're an educator. But we have a job as parents, as educators, as figures of authority to guide children and tell them what to do. You're saying they don't like to be told what to do. They have to be told what to do. That's how you educate people. So, you know, when you tell a child, you have to learn maths, you have to learn English, you have to learn geography, you have to learn history, you have to learn Irish. That's not their choice. It's ours. We're the educators.
I agree with that to the point when you say maths and English and other things that actually help you in today's world. But the Irish is more, let's face it, in most of Ireland is a novelty thing. Outside Ireland is completely a novelty thing. So you go to the States or you go to anywhere else to travel, you're not going to be able to use the knowledge that you have. This is only reserved for certain areas in Ireland, like the Gaeltacht, where you can actually go in and use the Irish language.
Yeah, so you're right. It is a bit of a novelty, isn't it, in that sense?
Yeah. And even if it eventually in 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 100 years time, it becomes a national phenomenon and everybody in Ireland starts speaking Irish over English, which is something that, you know, they should again strive towards. And I appreciate if they would. And I would love to, you know, involve myself a bit more in that part of the culture. Even then, once you leave Ireland, all of a sudden you have to speak, guess what? English, French, or German, or Spanish, any other, Spanish, or any other kind of large circulation language. So that's the reason we have mandatory subjects in school, because they are lifelong skills. Whereas knowing Irish, unfortunately, the reality is it's not really a skill. It's more like a novelty.
Okay, well, let me ask Diarmuid just quickly about that, because I have another two callers to get to as well. Diarmuid, it's Irish language. Unfortunately, it's just a novelty. It's nice. It's a bit of romance. It's nice. You know, I'd like to be able to speak Irish. It's kind of a romantic view I have of it, you know, but I can only ever speak it to other people who speak Irish, which is generally speaking in Ireland and the Gaeltacht areas. Outside of that, it's a novelty. If I go to America and I speak Irish, they go, oh, he's cute. They're not going to understand what I'm saying. Nobody will.
And that is where the state has brought us after, what is it, 106 or 7 years of so-called independence, is that they now regard the language as quaint and maybe a novelty. And that's the scandal of the day. That is where we're at.
Mark makes a good argument, because that's because it's pretty useless anywhere apart from Ireland.
So what's the answer to the argument?
I mean, I'll give you a small example.
The answer has to be either we accept that argument and we surrender and give it up altogether and become good Englishmen, and or secondly, that we do something to reverse it and assert the right of the Irish language to exist, not against English, but that it should become the everyday spoken vernacular in Ireland. And that is doable. It is doable within a generation. Mm. And that is what should be done.
I don't think it's doable within 25 years or a generation, as you say. For example, 20% of our economy at the moment is based on US investment and US companies coming into Ireland. The reason they come to Ireland, the likes of the PayPals, the YouTubes, the Googles, Twitters, all those, the reason they're in Ireland is because they want a country outside of the United States where they pay lower taxes, obviously, and also that have English-speaking population.
And we can still speak English. That's not a problem. But we should restore the Irish language, and it can be done. The example I gave you earlier was the State of Israel. Now, I know they have black marks for a load of other things, but on the issue of language, they restored Hebrew as a spoken language. We can do it, because it's been done and shown to be done, and it would mobilise a huge national goodwill.
But Mark makes a good point. He's an educator. He doesn't speak... He doesn't even speak Irish himself, and he's an educator. And most educators, most Irish school teachers, don't actually speak Irish. A lot of them don't, as you rightly said.
Isn't it shameful?
But we're already 900 teachers short, as Mark pointed out. And if you brought that in as a criteria that you must be able to speak fluent Irish to teach Irish or, you know, to teach primary school, you're going to be down an awful lot of teachers. We'll have no teachers left.
It needs much more than simple measures of that kind. It needs a national plan, and the government, that is their role, that is why we have government, is to further our interests on such questions. So the government needs to set a plan to start creating the educators and then start on a step-by-step basis teaching Lanis the Bunskoil and bring them all the way through the lower schools, the national schools, right into the man school and the, what are they called?
Okay, well, sorry, but Jamie, I'm going to have to cut you a little bit short. Stay there for a second, Dermot, because I need to go to Nuala and Huey before I finish today. Nuala, hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad at all, no.
Nuala, unfortunately, I've got 2 minutes. But go on, go for it.
Well, I think a lot of them, they're talking through their hat because the thing is, what you're learning in school is a hybrid. It's not real Gaeltacht Irish. Like, this fella's probably paid a fortune up in Trinity to make out the new words, because nobody out in Connemara would say Rivera, which is for computer. They'd say the computer. You know, they're making up words up in Trinity for the ordinary fellow out in Connemara to say. And sure, he's never going to say these things. And it was a language based on fishing, farming, maybe a bit of building. It wasn't a legal language since Cromwell was here. So, you know, like, what's they trying to do? You know, it's kind of, I don't know, you have a lot of people getting paid big, big money.
Yep.
And funding for this and funding for that and funding for the other. And that's why, and it's in their interest to keep this thing going. Like, I mean, out in Carraroe and in Carna, they put the two hotels that were there, they gave them over to asylum seekers and Ukrainians. That's how much they thought of the people that are speaking Irish every day.
This is true. Listen, I'm going to leave a thank you, Nuala. Then final word there to Dermot. Dermot, just I'll give you 20 seconds there to wrap it up for me.
People of Ireland should embrace the Irish language despite the efforts of the state to wipe it out. It's our language, it's our identity. Without it, we'll be a conquered people. So let's embrace our own culture and our own language. That's my message to everybody.
Thank you, Dermot. I appreciate you staying on as long as you did. We're going to take a quick break back after this.
This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.